Well, this morning we begin to think about our second purpose. It's a famous painting by Paul Gauguin called Where Do We Come From? What Are We? And Where Are We Going? You read the painting apparently from the right-hand side. It's a little bit hard to see, but the three women with a child on the right represent the beginning of life. The middle group symbolise young adulthood. And in the final group, right over on the left, it's very difficult to see there, but there's a lady squatting, holding her face like this, is an elderly lady who, according to Gauguin himself, is reconciled and resigned to her thoughts. Behind her is a blue idol, apparently representing what Gauguin described as the beyond. Now, Gauguin was raised as a Roman Catholic, and these questions come from the catechism he learnt as a child. Where do we come from? What are we? And where are we going? These are the sorts of questions each of us asks at various times in life, and maybe in different words. Peter Singer, who's the professor of ethics at both Melbourne University and Princeton, said in The Age this week that these questions are the foundation of a good education. And if we don't have some sort of answer to these questions, we will struggle to build a democracy and a country that can solve the problems we face. That's how significant these questions are, and Peter Singer is not a real friend to Christians. So welcome to day 8 of 40 Days of Purpose. During these 40 days, we are considering such foundational questions. And sometimes we let life run on, and we don't give time to think about the deep questions of life. Now, I've enjoyed my first week reading The Purpose-Driven Life, although I sort of skipped to day 6 and then came back to day 5, got a little bit confused in my own reading. And I know from the emails that some of you had that problem as well. I've enjoyed going to my first small group on Thursday, and I hope you have too. Last week, we thought about how God made us so that he could love us. And today we're going to think about the flip side, that he made us so that we can love him back. And that's what every parent and grandparent wants, simply that their children will love them back. Basically anything else is cream on the cake. As long as they love us back is what a parent wants. And that's what our Heavenly Father dearly wants, that we would love him back, and we were planned to bring God this sort of pleasure. Our love brings God pleasure. One day, a man asked Jesus, in effect, what is the most important thing that I have to do, that I must do? And Jesus said to him, love the Lord your God. That's the greatest commandment. That's the most important thing that we need to do in life, is to love God back. In effect, God says, I made you and I love you. What I want more than anything is for you to love me back, like a child loves parents, like a parent loves their child. That's our first purpose, to know and love God. And there is a word for this in the Bible. It's a word that sometimes gets misused and sometimes people don't like it, but it was used very much in our drama this morning, and it's the word worship. And to simply put it simply, worship is loving and knowing God. That's all it is, to know God and to love him back. Now, that's our primary purpose in life, to worship God. And all the other purposes we'll talk about over the next few weeks are based on that foundational purpose. Now, when I say the word worship, what do you think of in your mind? You might think of prayer or singing. You might think of a religious type of activity, a place, a religious place. You might think of a church or other places of worship that you've been to in other parts of the world. But in the Bible, worship is much more than any of these. And the truth is that everybody will worship something. It's in our makeup. It's in our DNA. That's why you can go to any culture in the world and you'll find people worshipping. I went to the Pompeii exhibition in the Melbourne Museum recently, and you will find evidence there of the ancient Romans and how they worshipped. Every culture has their so-called gods, as we saw in Gauguin's painting of the idol. Now, some people in Australia might claim to worship nothing. They say that on the census. I think it's about 19%. But if you scratch more deeply, I think you'll find even those people will have something they worship, something that they make the most important thing in their life. They might call it family. They might call it career. They might call it community. They might call it self, even. And the greatest temptation that you could succumb to is the temptation to worship something other than God. Now, I know that that's the greatest temptation because that's the temptation Satan tried on Jesus. Satan, in effect, said to Jesus near the start of his public life, "Look at all the kingdoms of the earth. I will give them all to you. You can have everything, Jesus, if you'll just worship me rather than your Father." Now, Satan tried that on Jesus, and he tries that on every single person. Jesus refused, and he said, "Worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Each of us faces that temptation. You might not realize it, but all the time you are being tempted to worship something other than God, to put God at most second, but it may be that God you're being tempted to put even completely out of your life. And we must refuse that temptation because that would be the worst thing we could actually do in life. Now that's why the most important thing we can do is love God. In Mark chapter 12, verse 30, another part of the New Testament, Jesus puts it this way: "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." And that's our memory verse for this week. See if you can just begin to memorize it. Try it with me. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Well done. To help you with this, at the end of the service, we will give you a little key tag as a gift. Some of you got these last week, and it will have your first memory verse. And then we'll put another little key tag. It just looks like that, a little thing that has that verse on it. And it's just a helpful way to try and remember some of the things that you're learning each Sunday and to get a little bit of scripture into your memory. Now, from this verse, what we learn is that worshiping God involves all of us. And I want to think through this morning. So first of all, worship includes expressing my affection to God. It involves my heart and soul, my emotions. For some of us, worshiping God with some emotional involvement is actually quite difficult. If you've come from a family where affection wasn't very, you know, it wasn't a very expressive family, it could be difficult. If you're shy, if you're reserved or silent sort of type of person, it may be that you're a male and you have fewer words to express your affection. It may be that you're an Anglican. And if you're all of those, male and shy and Anglican, then it's really difficult to express your affection sometimes or your love to God. Now, I'm most of those, so I hope I haven't offended anyone because I've offended myself. But remember, God made the first move. The Bible says we love God because he first loved us. So that when we take the risk and show our affection to God, show some sort of emotional response, the Bible actually guarantees that God is already loving us before we've even made any response at all. So God has begun a relationship with you, and he's just waiting for you to relate back. And it may be that some here this morning haven't begun that relationship, and today you might like to begin that. So how can I express my affection to God? Here are just some ideas. One way to start this, a very simple way, is just to start saying thank you Thank you to God for things that you may be at risk of taking for granted. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the rain. Thank you for clean air. Thank you that I'm still breathing. That's always a good one to pray. Thank you for this food. Thank you for my family. Thank you for this bed. Thank you for my home. Thank you for my friends. Thank you for the money to buy these things. You can find all sorts of things to say thank you to God for. And that's a way of expressing your love to God. In the foyer, you'll find on the table an article called 10 Ways to Worship God Without Music. And I encourage you to maybe have a look at that. It just is a 2-page article, and that gives you some more ideas. Also in the foyer as you came in, you'll see some people have given us some things that symbolize how they worship. I noticed a surfboard out there and a pair of running shoes. There are all sorts of ways that people worship God. Some people do it through cooking and helping others, some through thinking deeply about theology and the Bible, some through gardening and making things beautiful and using their creative talents. There are all sorts of ways, and you can have a look in the foyer for ideas. Now, of course, the most important way to show your affection to God, to love God, is to submit your whole life to God. At a wedding, the couple exchange vows and they say, I do. Well, hopefully, most of the weddings I've conducted, they actually get this bit right. And they say, I do. And sometimes they both exchange rings. That symbolizes that they're giving themselves to each other. They're committing themselves to each other. And that's the same with God, that we need to actually commit ourselves to God. Now, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. You cannot love God without giving yourself to God fully. Now, when you do that, that means you're no longer in charge. This is what is at the absolute core of worship, that you're no longer in charge. When you give yourself to God, you're saying, God, I'm no longer in charge of today. I'm no longer in charge of tomorrow or the future. I'm not in charge of what I will or won't do. I'm not in charge of how life is going to go. I'm not in charge of my career or my diary or my family. God, you're in charge. That's what it looks like in practical terms. Every day acknowledging God is in charge of your life. And that's the greatest way you can express your love to God, is to willingly say, God, I put you in first place. At best, I'm only in second place in my life. That's offering yourself heart and soul to God. James, one of the early disciples, said, submit yourselves to God, come near to him, and he will come near to you. So that's the first thing. God wants me to love him with my heart and soul. He also wants me to love him with my mind, to love him thoughtfully. In other words, part of worship is about focusing my attention on God. You can't love someone and not pay them any attention. They'll thump you in the ribs if you do that. So how do we do that with God? Well, you can start doing that by establishing a daily time with God. Just a few minutes during the day, anywhere at all. It doesn't matter when you do it, but it's time just to talk to God and read what he has to say. Now, there's a part in Matthew, one of the Gospels, where Jesus says it quite clearly. This is from the Message translation, a more sort of freer translation. And this is what Jesus says to us. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense his grace. Now, you can do that anywhere. You can do that in a car. You can do that in your office. You can do it on a train. You can do it in a cafe. I had a nice time in a little cafe myself during the week. You just need to be with God simply. No ceremony, no fancy words, no putting on any show. You're just there as you. It's a most honest time. You just have to be yourself, because you can't fool God anyway. Over time, as you then deliberately take time to focus your attention on God, as you read the Bible and as you listen for God's voice, you'll become more aware of God's presence in your life and God's directing what he wants you to do and how to act. And you'll become more certain of what God is saying to you. During this 40 days of purpose, we're using our minds in a number of ways. So, for example, you're all invited to take 15 minutes a day to read something out of a book called The Purpose-Driven Life and allow the bits of scripture and the thought-provoking chapter to go into your mind. Now, it's a couple of times this week I've read it earlier in the morning and I found I'm still thinking about it later in the day. That's one way we're using our minds. You're also encouraged to memorize a piece of scripture, and that's so you get some of God's truth inside you. And it'll be in your memory so that you can call on it anywhere. You don't need anything if it's in your memory. So the last week we were given a verse, and some days I managed to get this, some days I got it a little wrong. So let's see how many of you can remember from last week. Just close your eyes and say it softly, and see how you go following me. If you weren't here last week, that's okay, and you can just hear me say it. Okay. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God has prepared in advance for us to do. Ephesians 2 verse 10. So that's a way of trying to get something into your mind that you can then call on when you're standing, you know, hassled in the queue in the shopping centre, when you're in traffic jam, when you're in the midst of a really important meeting or something like that. Just having something of God's truth in you. Why am I here? Well, one of the reasons I'm here is because I'm God's workmanship. I'm a masterpiece made by God to do good works that He's prepared in advance for me to do. You know, bang, 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 it's in your mind. No, and you can use that to help you. You're also being challenged through these 40 days to think about your general direction in life. Why am I here? What am I doing with my life? What's the purpose? Am I doing anything of any significance, or am I just spending my days crossing off the to-do list, paying the bills and going to bed? Is that all that it adds up to? Now, this, you know, thinking about life involves intellectual honesty, and it may lead you to make some changes in your life. You will need to think deeply about some of the things you've read and that you might be discussing in your small groups. Some of you who don't yet know Jesus, or maybe not sure what you believe, and you're here to search out things, this little period actually might give you more questions than answers, and your mind might be full of all sorts of things that you want to follow up. Well, we're glad you're here, and if you want to ask questions, please do come up. We're not frightened by the fact that some people don't agree, some people don't believe. That is quite permissible, and we'd love you to be able to feel confident enough and comfortable enough to ask your questions. God wants us to love Him thoughtfully with minds that are full of His truth, and that's part of the way we worship Him and bring Him pleasure. Thirdly, then, worship is expressing my affection to God, focusing my attention on God, and it's also using my abilities for God. This is loving God with all my strength. It's about putting my faith into action, about loving God practically. Now, there's a wonderful verse in the New Testament written by the early apostle Paul in a book called Colossians, and he says this: whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as though you're working for the Lord, that's for God, and not for people. Now, if you get this verse, it will help revolutionize your life. Whatever you do, that means anything, do it as though you were working for the Lord. And if you don't get anything else out of today, I'd love you to get this one, because it'll really help you. In life, it's not what you do that matters, it's who you do it for. I'll say that again. It's not what you do that matters, it's who you do it for. Now, all of your work can be turned to worship if you do it for God. I don't care if you're a butcher, a baker, or a candlestick maker. You can do that for God. It may be you're a teacher. It may be you fix computers. It may be you're a CEO. It may be you're a Christian professional. Doesn't matter what you're doing. You may be a carpet cleaner or an at-home mum raising children. You might work in a supermarket part-time or a fish and chip shop or a multinational corporation. You might be a student, a retiree, a volunteer, an honorary board member. It doesn't matter. You can do it for God. It's not what you do, it's who you do it for. A lot of us wonder what God wants us to do with our lives. Sometimes I don't think he really minds what we do, as long as we're doing it for him. He wants to know, are you doing it for me? So if you're good at repairing things, go out and say, God, I want to repair these things this week as if I'm doing it for you. If you're good at cooking, go out and cook for your family or for the restaurant as if it's for God. If you're good at solving people's problems, solve them for God. If you're good at staying calm in the midst of a lot of tension, praise God. That means if you're doing whatever you're doing for God, it turns your work, whether it's paid or voluntary or at home, into an act of worship. You see what I mean when I say you don't have to come to church to worship. You can do it every single day of the week, regardless of what it is you're doing, if you're doing it for God. Many of us compartmentalize our life, and it goes something like this. We say, well, here's the spiritual part of my life over here. And that looks like going to church, might look a bit like praying, and I might even belong to a small group and I meet in the middle of the week. That's the spiritual part of my life. And then over here is my professional life, my family life, my social life, my recreations. And it's a bit like a pie that we cut up and we apportion time in our diary to each of these different parts. Well, God says that's the wrong way to think about it. God says, I want to be part of the whole pie. I want to be involved in your whole life. I don't want to just be a little segment. Love the Lord your God with all that you have. And then when you do that, worship becomes something that you do every single day in every part of your life. Worship isn't just something that happens here at church. It happens in the ordinary, mundane, routine things that you do. Whether it's putting out the rubbish, you can say, I'm going to put out the rubbish tonight. It's rubbish night tonight at our home. I'm going to put out the rubbish tonight for God. If it's standing at the kitchen sink and washing the dishes, I'm going to wash these dishes for God. I had a little saying that was above my desk for many years. It said, you can peel potatoes for the glory of God as much as build cathedrals, something along like that. You could clean out your garage for the glory of God, and some of you need to do that. You can go and do anything for the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Now, what if you decided today that tomorrow you will do what you're doing for a new boss? You have an earthly boss. I'm an earthly boss for some people. But what if you decided tomorrow I'm actually going to work for my heavenly boss? Whatever I do, I'm going to do for God tomorrow. That will revolutionize how you approach your tasks tomorrow. I can guarantee it. Try it. If you take that attitude in tomorrow, all your activities will become worship and it will liberate your day. It will change your attitude. You'll find you're smiling more often than you usually do. And that'll be a good thing because I can see some of your faces and you need to smile a bit more. Now, the greatest mistake you can make in life is to miss your primary purpose. And the Bible says we are planned for God's pleasure. We are made to know and love God. And as I've said today, worship can look like a whole lot of things, a whole lot of different things, as long as you're doing it from your heart with everything you have, including your mind, including your strength, for God. It can be many, many different things. So try some of the suggestions I've said today. I've written some of them down also in contact at the end of the sermon outline. And this will help you establish this primary purpose in life and help build that foundation that we'll then build on over the next couple of weeks. Before we sing, let's just bow our heads and I'd like to pray. And I'd like you, if you can, to say some of these prayers with me in your mind. Father, what we've talked about today is no minor issue. It's the most important thing in life, getting to know and love you. I realize there are people here at all different stages in their spiritual journey, some here for the very first time, some not sure of who you are, and some who have been following you for most of their life. Please help each of us to take the next step that we need to take. Now, if you'd like to just follow this prayer and maybe echo it in your mind. Dear God, I wouldn't even exist if it weren't for you. Forgive me all the times I think and act like you don't matter. Today I've realized you made me to love me, and that the first purpose of my life is to know and love you back. I'm amazed that you long for a relationship with me, and I'm amazed you're interested in the details of my life. But most of all, I'm amazed you would come to earth and die for me. Please forgive me, God, for not worshipping you. I want to learn how to focus my attention on you throughout my day. I want to turn my work into worship. I want to learn to love you with a love that you deserve, thoughtfully with my mind, passionately with my heart and soul, and practically with my strength. When I go back to work tomorrow, I'm going to be working for you, doing my job as if you are the boss. If you're here this morning and you've never opened up your life to Jesus, you might like to add this sentence to your prayer. Jesus, thank you for giving your life for me. As much as I know how, I want to give my life back to you. We pray all these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.